My brothers and I would like to welcome you here today on this Sabbath to the house of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, this Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. We have that beautiful illustration behind the priesthood of this good shepherd. He's that good shepherd that is willing to go after that one lost sheep. Have you come here today feeling like you're one of those lost sheep? Have you come here today struggling, whether that be physically or spiritually? And if you have, if you will draw near unto this good shepherd, he will draw near unto you, and he will sup with you, and you with he. It's a beautiful promise. We are gathered here today for a very special purpose. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper. To remember this Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and what he has done for each of us. And for our call to worship, or our call to remembrance this day, I've chosen out of the fifth chapter of Alma, starting in verse 20. And listen to these words carefully. And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, and this that the word might be fulfilled which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sickness of his people. And he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy. According to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh, how to succor his people according to their infirmities. Now the Spirit knoweth all things. Nevertheless, the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. Now behold, this is testimony which is in me. Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again, for the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And most in here in this room today have been born again. And so it is we find ourselves here with this table set before us. To remember this Jesus Christ. Let's continue by singing hymn number 11.
Thank you. Our Father, our God, in that precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we as a body stand in honor for the great sacrifice that was made for our behalf and the behalf of all of creation. We thank You, Lord, for this time together. And we ask that good Spirit, even the Holy Ghost, might come and dwell and reside in each of our hearts and preside over our time. And uphold to You, O God, our servant. They are our brother and Your servant, Bill, as he would break forth the word of life, that You might enlighten his mind and lead him to those things that are expedient for the lives of Your children here in this place. And as we as a body, O God, might soften our hearts to be able to receive that message that You have for us. Help us in this endeavor, O Lord, to seek You out. Each one of us here have concerns and trials and even doubtings that come into our life. And so I would ask, Lord, that good Spirit might allow us to set down any concerns and cares of the world, if only for this moment, that we might come to remember our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and remember all that has been done for each of us, individually and collectively. Bless our time, dear Lord. May we bring You honor, praise, and glory in all that we do and say, and even those things that we think, and ask it in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord is very clear on everything He says. He's very clear about how we should be stewards over that which He's given us. He says in 1834, a revelation given to the people, "For it is expedient that I, the Lord, should make every man accountable as stewards over earthly blessings, which I have made and prepared for My creatures. I, the Lord, stretched out the heavens and builded the earth as a very handy work. And all things therein are Mine. And it is My purpose to provide for My saints, for all things are Mine, but it must needs be done in Mine own way. And behold, this is the way that I, the Lord, have decreed to provide for My saints, that the poor shall be exalted in that the rich are made low. For the earth is full, and there is enough and to spare. Yea, I prepared all things and have given unto the children of men to be agents unto themselves." Would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this instruction. Even though Thou hast said unto us that Thou hast never given a temporal law, but all are spiritual. And truly it is a spiritual thing that we impart of our substance one to another as seemeth good. Forgive us when we have not recognized those times, our Heavenly Father, and help us that we might be more in tune with that Holy Spirit to dictate to our minds those things that Thou would have us know. And bless us and forgive us. We humbly pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I stand before you to greet you in the sacred name of our friend, our Savior, and our Lord, even Jesus. What a beautiful day that we've had to gather into this place, this day of remembrance of that body and that spilt blood of our Savior, and his willingness to go to the cross for your sins and for my sins, that we might have life eternal. He was willing to pay that ransom price for our pardon, that we might be pardoned from that fall of Adam. And one day, be brought into the presence of our God. That was his ultimate sacrifice for you and for me this day. I'd like to share with you a few words from the book of John, 17th chapter, starting with the first verse. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son who may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as though thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. I have thought what exactly that which I should bring before your thinking this morning as we remember these emblems that are before you, these sacred emblems of that broken body and spilt blood of our Lord. And I don't want to harbor up your tender feelings as to that suffering that our Lord endured for us, those hours that he spent there on the cross. But I'd like to take you to that day and to that day even before that event of his death. The Lord was eating that Passover meal with his disciples in that upper room on that Thursday before that day that we celebrate as Easter today. And it is called Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday, that Thursday before the celebration of Easter. And Maundy is from a Latin word meaning command or order. So my next reading, I would like to read that commandment that was given on that day, on Maundy Thursday. And it's found in the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew. Excuse me, 26th chapter. Very familiar passage of scriptures, one that we usually share on our communion Sunday, starting with the 22nd verse of chapter 26, Matthew. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and brake it, and blessed it, and gave to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is in remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you. Have you ever thought of that price that he paid, that ransom that he paid for your pardon? That bread is to represent his body, that ransom paid for you. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is in remembrance of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe on my name for the remission of their sins. So his blood is the New Testament of his grace in washing us of all our sins, shed for as many that will believe on his name. And then the commandment, this commandment on Monday, Thursday. And I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall observe to do the things which ye have seen me do, and bear record of me, even unto the end. To this day, this commandment is still valid. That we are to bear record of him. That we are to be valiant in our testimony of Jesus Christ and his forgiving grace. And for that life that he gave for our sakes. And then verse 26. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I shall come and drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I'm sure we all are looking for that glorious day, that great and glorious day of his coming, returning to this earth, when we will be able to drink of this wine with him anew in his Father's kingdom. I know I'm looking forward to it. And all of our loved ones will be resurrected. And we will share in that glorious reunion. What a day that will be. That is his promise. That is his promise to you. Individually this day, as he comes in glory, that you'll be permitted to be reunited with your loved ones that have passed on. There were some trying events next to follow Jesus. After this meal of this Passover, it says that they sung a hymn together, and then they went out into the Mount of Olives to a place that was most favorite to the Lord, that Garden of Gethsemane, where he oft times went to pray. And there praying, he asked, as it was mentioned in our early morning prayer service, he asked the Father that that bitter cup might be taken from him. But not his will, but the Father's will would be done. And three times, being very sorrowful, he prayed that prayer. And after each time he came back to his disciples and they were asleep. And he asked Peter, James, and John, why could not you have stayed awake with me for 1 hour to pray with me? Being so sorrowful that it says that he even sweat drops of blood. And then Judas appeared. And sealed his betrayal with a kiss. And we know what happened to Judas for his betrayal. It says that he had become the son of perdition because of it. And therefore he would not be one of those 12. That would be one of those 12 that judged the 12 tribes of Israel. But it was Matthias who was with Christ even at his crucifixion. Those times that he ministered in Jerusalem, that was chosen to take Judas's place. And then those chief priests and elders bound Jesus and took him away. And they spent that whole night in counseling together as to finding reason to crucify the Lord. And before the cock crew, do you remember that Peter had denied him three times? Now, often, how many times that I have denied my Lord? When I have had an opportunity to testify of Him, to be valiant in my testimony before my children, before my grandchildren, before my family and friends, how many times that I have denied Him? And early that morning, which was Friday morning, Jesus was taken before Pilate. And we know that story very well. How Pilate could not find any reason why he should be crucified. When they were demanding Barabbas to be delivered unto them. For that was the custom during the Feast of the Passover that the Roman government would release one prisoner unto them. And he said, well, won't you take this man who says he's king of the Jews instead of Barabbas? And they continued to holler, Barabbas, Barabbas. And then Pilate stood before him, washed his hands. He said, I wash my hands to be innocent of the blood of this man. And then they cried out, his blood be upon us and our children. And so it was. So Pilate had Jesus scourged that Friday morning. And to scourge someone is to whip them. And this was something that Jesus had to endure as well. Now those whips were short-handled instruments with long pieces of leather strips that were weighted at the tips with lead, where history tells us. And we don't know how many lashes Christ received that day. But according to history, the Jews had a law that the maximum times for any punishment was 40 lashes. But the Romans didn't have such a law. So we never knew how many lashes Christ received during that scourging. I'd like to read a very familiar passage of Scripture found in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, starting with the 4th verse. And you've heard this many times. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. They also planted a crown of thorns upon his head and mocked him and spit upon him and even beat upon his head with a reed, perhaps even driving those thorns deeper into his skull. And then they led him away to be crucified there on the cross. And as we stood in the back, the priesthood members gathered around in our circle, as we normally do each time we come prepared to come to this before this table. And we stretched out our arms on each other's shoulders like this. This wide. This is how much Christ loved you, as he was impaled upon that cross. Those nails in his hands and his feet. This is how much God sent his Son to show how much Christ loved us. Mark 15, chapter 27th and 28th verse, we read these words. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments and cast lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour. It was the third hour when they crucified him. Now the Jews reckon time. The first hour was started at 6 a.m. in the morning. That was the first hour from 6 to 7. And it's telling us here in Mark, the only gospel that gives us this time, this third hour of the day that he was crucified. And it's the same in the King James Version. Normally it's the verse 25th in the King James Version. It's verse 28 in the Inspired Version. And as he hung there on the cross, you know those famous words that perhaps we remember him saying to those that were crucifying him and parting his garments as he was nailed to that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'm sure those same words could be said in our hearing. That the Father might forgive you for your not knowing. But knowing, we have reason to repent. The two thieves that were hung on the cross with him. And we find that account in Luke, 23rd chapter, starting with the 40th verse. And one of the malefactors who was crucified with him railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So there on the cross, he granted that forgiveness to that man. And it's recorded that he said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Then from back to Matthew again, 27th chapter, it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." So the sixth hour would be in Jewish time about noon, and the ninth hour would be about 3 o'clock. So I believe it was approximately 6 hours that Jesus suffered there on the cross, taking upon him your sins and my sins and the sins of all the world. When you stop to think of that, how many people that the Lord was dying for. Everyone that would take upon them his name and believe on him, those are who he was dying for. 6 hours there he suffered there on the cross. And then we're told that the veil was rent. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And it was in that very moment that God was removing his spirit from the Lord. I truly believe that. For that reason why the Christ cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" It was for the justice that is given, as we know, that the wages of sin is death. And those many sins that Christ was experiencing in that moment, that the Lord, I believe, left him without that oneness of spirit in the Father. And he was left there alone in that moment, sorrowing even until death. And as I said, at his death, after he made that statement, just a short while later, he said, "Father, it is finished. Thy will is done," and yielded up the ghost. It tells us that the veil of the tabernacle was ripped in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked. And the rocks were rent. And this is another testimony of Jesus Christ in our life today. When we travel along the highways and we see those rock faces that they've cut through to make the road smooth, and they're all in fragments, cracks, it's another testimony that event, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and for me. And in the book of third book of Nephi, the fourth chapter, 16th and 17th verse, we read these words. And it came to pass, when the thunders and the lightnings and the storms and the tempest and the quakings of the earth did cease, for behold, they did last for about the space of 3 hours. 3 hours. That time of darkness. That was even upon our Lord. In the 6th hour to the 9th hour, there was darkness over all the land. And then we read that the same fate happened in the Americas. The Americans did quake as well for the space of 3 hours. There is one among us that will be taking their first communion this day. And I'm sure that you've all had opportunity to examine yourself. And we have a young couple that perhaps this will be their first communion taken together since their marriage as well. It's a time of reflecting. It's time of being aware of that special gift that is before us this day in these emblems. We have come in remembrance of that covenant we made at the water's edge. And it's a lifetime commitment. It's a lifetime covenant, promise made. And we are witnessing this day that we are willing to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ and to always remember Him and to keep His commandments, that we may always have His Spirit to be with us. Amen.
We have come to that part of the service where we are about to partake of these emblems. And we have with us today our brother Grant, who has made that covenant in the waters of baptism and has received that gift of the Holy Ghost. And as is tradition here at the branch, our brother Grant will receive that sacrament of the Lord's Supper first after the priesthood is served. As that prayer and blessing over the bread is offered by Elder Joe Williams, let us kneel facing the emblems.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments, which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
As the prayer of blessing over the wine is offered by Elder Joe Williams, let us kneel facing the emblems.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Close our service by singing of hymn 186 of our resurrected Lord. 186.
Thank you.
Our Father, which art in heaven, may all praise and honor and glory be given unto thee. And it is with great joy that I lift my voice in praise unto thy holy name this day. For we have observed and we have remembered and partaken of the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Father, for that great gift. There could be none greater. And we thank you for the sacrifice that he made. We thank you that he remembers us. And we thank you that he yet lives today and broke those bands of death, that it would bind us no more. Father, would you dismiss your people this day? Would you go with them to their homes? Would you be with them this week? Would you remind them, Father, in the quiet moments, of that which is their duty and responsibility to remember you always and to be always drawn out in prayer continually. Help us to endure, Father, endure even unto the end. We praise you and we thank you for all your goodness to us. Go with us now, we would pray, and ask this departing blessing, even this benediction upon your people, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.